Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been a little while. Thanks for tuning back in. This, of course, the Gentlemanly Confabulation Podcast. I'm James, here with my good friend, John. John, how are you doing?
Wonderful, James. And it's Olympic season, so today we're talking Olympics. And we got some wonderful Olympic-style cigars and drinks. I've got myself a Cohiba Red Dot. And, I mean, if you've never been privy to a Cohiba, you got to get yourself out there and buy one. Unfortunately, if you go buy one from the store, they're about like $17, but worth every penny. And we're drinking some mint juleps.
I'm very excited about the mint jays. Let's have a little cheers. Welcome back.
I know, it's good to finally get this going again.
Absolutely.
So mint.
Yep, that's refreshing. Now, we will talk for just a second here about the mint julep itself, because I've been fascinated about the idea of the mint julep. And hadn't actually had one until I made one last week for myself.
And ever?
Ever. I'd never had one before because I just would get bourbon by itself.
Yeah, because, you don't go to places and order mint juleps.
Yeah, I wasn't at a horse racing track, you know.
Mm. Fair enough. Or watching the Kentucky Derby.
Well, that would be a fine place to do it. But no, so I hadn't done one before, and I decided that, because we're classy like that, being that we're a gentleman, that it was high time that we make a play for it. So I got all the ingredients. By far the most difficult part of making the mint julep at home, John, what is it?
Yeah, it seems like your most difficult part was crushing ice.
Ding, 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 ding.
When you don't have a fridge that has the ice crushing button on it, a little difficult when all you have are plastic bags.
Just a little bit. Now, the first time was quite bad. I was using a metal mallet to beat the ice in a small plastic bag. Now this time, which is now the second time I've made them, well, second day I've made them, I went to a larger plastic bag, so not a sandwich bag.
Correct. Well, that was
but
much smarter.
A freezer bag.
Yeah, a little gallon bag.
And I then covered that in tin foil, which, of course, tin foil is good for everything, and beat it with a mallet. A wooden rolling pin mallet.
Right. Well, which works a lot better.
Absolutely.
And the ice is perfectly crushed, so good job. You muddled the mint well. It's great. Great mint julep overall.
And if you're also low on a muddler or a mortar and pestle, then you could also use a ice cream scoop.
I found. Is that what you use?
I use an ice cream scoop. Just to gently tamp it. Just tamp it.
Just tamp it down.
Tamp it down. Tamp.
And the bourbon is Redemption Bourbon. And what else is in there, James?
Well, this is also what makes it so amazing, in my opinion, is the addition of a little liquid I like to call, and so does the people at Pepsi Cola, 1893. So this is a ginger cola, which is pretty good by itself. It also works very good with whiskey. But they actually had a specific recipe for mint julep with the 1893. And recommended using this, and it gives it just a nice little refreshing hint of ginge.
It does.
And I'm a fan of it.
Do you know why it's called 1893?
I'm assuming it has to do with the year of the recipe, or maybe the year that Pepsi first produced cola. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I'm just going to look it up.
But I would think that that's maybe one of the two things that happened with that. Myself, I'm smoking a Padron, which is part of our Cigar International Cigar of the Month Club. So far, pretty good, mild.
It was?
A little hard to light. Yes, it was.
I don't remember that at all. yeah, it did seem like it was giving you a little bit of trouble to light.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, again, I've got a Cohiba. It's wonderful. It's delicious. Go smoke one. It's perfect first smoke for anybody, I would say.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong with a Cohiba.
Nope. Yeah. Introduced in 1893, Pepsi.
Oh, there you go. So that's the reason why it's called 1893.
It was called Brad's Drink.
Well, we'll have to tell Brad.
In 1893.
We'll have to tell Brad about that.
Huh.
The one Brad we know. Unless you know more Brads. I only know one.
I only know one Brad. I feel like that's not really that common of a name.
No, not really.
But, yeah, so there you go. Pepsi invented 1893 as Brad's Drink.
Delicious.
So, Olympics. Olympics started Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? 2 days ago.
That's correct. 2 days ago.
Well, actually, no, because it started Wednesday.
Well, the preliminary stuff, but the actual official opening of the games happened Friday night.
But soccer started Wednesday.
The official opening started, John, on Friday.
Fine.
Okay, let's just go with Friday.
Okay.
I know football is football, all right?
Oh, speaking of, if any of you are on Twitter, follow NBC Delayed because it's amazing.
You were retweeting them quite a bit on Friday.
It's so good because they're so delayed.
And so through 2 days of the games, ratings are down, I think, 8 to 9 million viewers each night from London.
Really?
And I believe I read that the opening ceremonies were the lowest rated since Barcelona.
The opening ceremonies were terrible.
They were very, well, there were some, okay, look, the LED light board thing was great.
Yes, it was, but when they started talking in the beginning and they had that little one-on-one, or I guess one-on-two, with the people who are in charge of the opening ceremony.
The visionaries behind.
Right, and them telling them they're not using any technology, they're going back to basics.
But it was all technology.
What a load of crap.
It was all technology.
It was all technology. But, I don't know, even, and then my Portuguese people only made, like, an appearance for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, and they were just completely all about the enslavement of the native populations. Although it was really good, I have to give props to, I'm assuming this was done purposely, but the main Portuguese guy that got off the boat looked just like the J-Man.
Well,
so not only was it a foreign Westerner coming to enslave, but it was also Jesus himself getting off the boat to give religion to the natives.
Well, many people don't know this, but Jesus was in fact Portuguese.
That's, see?
It's true.
And that's the kind of information you can only get on the Gentlemanly Confabulation
if
podcast.
If you believe, then it's true.
It's up to you, and that's all you need to know. So, let's start a little bit talking about the beginning of these games, which were marred in controversy.
Correct.
Just, you know, from venues that weren't completed to Olympic villages that had extreme plumbing problems. You know, just the violence, the graft, the fact that the state was, I think, bankrupt, and then you had the problem with the Presidente had been not recalled, but there's some other word for it. It's almost like an impeachment, I think.
Correct, yep.
So there's all this tumult and turmoil going on in Brazil, and it looked to be setting up for a gigantic disaster.
Yes.
Which, so far, it has not been, to their credit.
No, but why, as the Olympic Committee, you would give Rio the Olympics, knowing that there's no way Brazil was ever going to get ready, no matter what. It's Brazil. Like, the amount of crime and corruption in Brazil is astronomical. Why did you? I don't get it.
I've seen Fast Five, so I'm vaguely familiar with the problems in Rio.
I only know because of the Portuguese channel when I get my news.
Well,
that's
Brazil
the only place. Is a disaster.
It's the only place to get your news.
But it's, these people just move at a snail's pace for everything. And I get, to me, it's like FIFA awarding the World Cup to Qatar, or Qatar, which apparently everybody calls it, and I don't agree with that. But it's going to be a complete nightmare, because these places can't get these things done on time.
Well, and that goes to the bigger point that we also wanted to bring up, which was that when it comes to the Olympics as an idea going forward, it doesn't seem to make any sense. And likewise, I would think for any big international sporting event, like a FIFA,
right,
for it to be held anywhere that is not considered a developed nation. And by, like, developed, I mean, like, one of basically maybe five countries in the entire world.
Correct.
Because at the end, even with countries that, you know, build these venues and everything, they end up never getting used, half of them, and it just becomes some desolate wasteland, and it's a huge waste of money. And obviously there's a pride factor that goes into it for a short period of time, and it might be good for, you know, propping up dictators, Putin, but, you know, in general, it just seems as though it's a folly for any of these big international games organizations
correct
to go in and then force these countries to bid and then to build all of these what will become useless things. I mean, for instance, in Brazil, all of these terrible Olympic Village apartments or whatever,
yeah,
are, which the plumbing is all screwed up, like it's not built correctly, and as you said, it wasn't even completed. Those are supposed to be $700,000 apartments.
Correct.
In Rio.
Yep.
Which you don't... There can't be that... I mean, there's 23,000 athletes or something at this thing?
But and then the fascinating thing is the men's and women's basketball team
are staying on a cruise ship. Yep.
Because it's so terrible. But it also goes... There was a documentary a while ago about the Winter Olympic venues. I don't know if you've seen that.
I haven't.
I forget what it's called, but it just goes to show... Like, they go back... I forget... maybe into the 80s, and they show all these different places that the Winter Olympics were held and what the venues look like now, and they're just tagged with graffiti. They're crumbling to the ground. It's a disaster.
Make sure.
Because when are you ever going to use a luge again?
Probably not very often.
That's why I think you and I are on the same page. It should be held in the same like couple cities, rotated around. And that's
Well, I think would be ideal is if you have a few major countries, and say the United States, China, Russia, maybe Europe, it's Germany, maybe, you know, so it could be Europe centralized.
Right.
Maybe somewhere in Australia or something. But what you do is you take, instead of, because the other problem with the Olympics, right, and the reason why nobody wanted Boston to have it, is that if you are going to have an Olympics in a major city, it's going to emphasize all the deficiencies of that city times 1,000.
Yep.
In Boston, obviously, transportation, getting around would have been it would have affected traffic all the way probably to the Connecticut border on 95,
easily, absolutely.
And probably up into Maine,
yep.
You know, because it would have just been insane. And I certainly don't besmirch people in Boston for not wanting that
at all. Infrastructure is horrible. All those people in Boston, centralized, and it being such a metropolitan area that all these other people are going to work, like, God, I would have called out that entire month.
You would have had to. I mean, it would have been terrible. So, what I think is that it makes no sense to even have the games in big cities.
Correct.
What you need to do is, now, I have some experience in living in a mid to medium city, Des Moines, which... You know, nobody, you know, you can't find Iowa in a map, let alone Des Moines.
That's true.
Which is fine. But it's a very nice city. It's all laid out in a nice grid because it was built after 1850. Or most of it was built after 1850. So it's the perfect kind of a city where you could build venues all around it,
mm-hmm.
create a public infrastructure just for the games, with light rail or whatever you want, have this spread out within a 30-mile or 20-mile radius all around the city, which is basically farmland,
yep.
And that would be America's Olympic City.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great idea.
And you could have all of these mid-major cities out in the Midwest bid for the games.
Yep.
Like the permanent games.
Yep.
And then maybe have you one for summer and maybe one for winter.
Right.
I think that would be amazing.
That's a fantastic idea. One that they'll never do.
Exactly.
Because it makes too much sense. And would cut down on everything. That and, I don't know how the Olympic Committee is, but if they're anything like FIFA, and the old president, who was just a complete scumbag.
Look, Sepp Blatter? He sounds like a made-up Bond villain. He really does.
He kind of is a Bond villain. But his whole thing was trying to bring it to new areas in the world, where people, and trying to grow the sport in that area.
But just give them free soccer balls. Or football balls.
I understand
footballs.
That. Footballs. Yeah, like they should. Yep. Give them some more money to develop the game there. But no, instead they want to bring over a World Cup, which ends up costing that economy millions of dollars, because these games never make anything for the economy.
No, it's always a cost loss for hosts.
And now you're going to have Brazil...
Which is already screwed.
Right, eating more cost.
I know. It's not worth it.
And the water is filled with shit.
I know, it's not good. I would be...
But that's the other thing. It's like, you know, to me, that's not the fault of Rio. Like, that's the fault of the Olympic Committee. Like, you knew Rio's water was completely filled with sewage. You knew their people weren't going to get anything done, and yet, right.
Money.
Exactly. It is all money.
Money.
But you saw the World Cup was kind of a disaster, and yet you still decided to give the Olympics to Rio? I mean, these athletes should be complaining to the committee, not to Brazil.
Well, I saw some story that likely is not true because it was on Facebook about Usain Bolt allegedly thinking he was poisoned or something, and now he doesn't want to compete.
I could see the Brazilians poisoning Usain Bolt.
Which is just like, okay.
Oh, so did you see Hope Solo, the goalkeeper for the U.S. Women's National Team?
Solo, yes.
Has been incredibly vocal about how much he hates Brazil. And so these past
And you
got to
be
games,
careful because she's a domestic abuser.
She is a domestic abuser.
So you got to be careful because right. If you say that you, I'm sorry, Hope Solo, I don't appreciate that.
Well, she's a goalkeeper, so I'm assuming that I might be able to outrun her a little bit.
No, you're not. Neither of us are doing that.
I know.
I played this song for you, John.
Thanks, James. But anyway, so Hope Solo has been trashing Brazil left and right because apparently that's her thing to do. She's a massive see you next Tuesday. During the soccer games, whenever she takes a goal kick, the entire crowd chants Zika at her.
I didn't realize that.
I was watching the women's game yesterday against France, and she took the goal kick, and I'm like, what did they just yell? So we round it, played it again. They're chanting Zika at her, which is amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, so Olympics. How, who's winning what? Who's taking most medals?
Well, I think right now, it actually might be Australia that has the most. Because the swimming events have gone first, and Australia has a very good swim team.
Not all of the swimming events.
Not all the swimming events are over, because Phelps didn't do his individual events, and the women didn't do their individuals. It was the team, the medley freestyle, whatever it's called, the 400.
And then it was just qualifications, right?
Yeah, a couple of qualifications. There were I think, the lower mileage races, like the 100 and 200 were yesterday. So the longer races, which America has stronger swimmers in, those, I believe, are either tonight or tomorrow.
All right.
So that's something to look forward to. But
look up the medal count.
Yeah, so as of Sunday, the first Sunday of these, I think it's the 31st Olympiad.
It is the 31st Olympiad.
There we go. I thought it was Australia, though. It may have changed. I've been watching a lot of women's beach volleyball.
Well, how could you not watch a lot of women's beach volleyball?
It just happens to be on all the time. I don't know who planned that.
Yeah, they do. Australia has 3 medals right now. Hungary's in second place with 2 medals. Woo! Oh, wait. No. I guess China has the most medals.
Well, that makes sense.
Australia has 2 gold medals.
Oh, so they have the most gold medals.
Yes.
Okay, that was my mistake then.
Yes. USA has second most medals.
Huh. Good. Yeah, I woke up today and saw the B team for the women's beach volleyball from America, which is not the Kerry Walsh Jennings person.
Correct.
And they were playing Poland, so I had to watch just to see. Apparently this is the first year I think Poland qualified for beach volleyball, which makes a lot of sense because it's Poland.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see beach volleyball being very good.
I can't see your people being out in the sun that long.
Well, I'm glad that these two women were brave enough. I mean, and I'm using that term very loosely. Brave enough to be out there to play beach volleyball for my ancestral homeland of Poland.
Hey, Thailand has a gold medal.
In what? Weightlifting?
Probably ping pong.
No. You know what's the funny thing about ping pong? Is that every time...
Yeah, it is weightlifting.
Oh, I guess I must have seen that somewhere. Because how would I know? It was not set up. Anyway, the thing that I love about the ping pong events is that every time you tune in, you think that it's literally like China versus Japan.
Right.
Or something like that. Or China versus itself. Because apparently the ping pong community, or the ping pong athletics, is so competitive in China that if you're good at all, you will take your family to another country so that you can compete in ping pong.
Really?
So it's almost all Chinese, like, natives that are involved in ping pong.
Huh.
It's crazy. Because my wife and I were watching yesterday, and we're like, oh, this must be like China versus Korea or something.
Yeah.
And it was like Germany versus the United States, and it was two Asian men. And we're like, oh, okay, well, this is...
So that's what
this
happened.
Is a stereotype.
So you're just good at ping pong, so you leave your country and go play for a different one. All
right. Yeah.
All right. That's why I feel like you should have to be a naturalized citizen in that country.
Hey, if you can make a living.
I know.
I mean, look, we can't, obviously, America's greatest ping pong athlete, Forrest Gump. There's only one Forrest.
He couldn't compete. He's too old.
And you never knew what you were going to get with him.
So, speaking of making a living, my my friend in Portugal knows some people who are good. His girlfriend's cousin is dating somebody who was invited to the Olympics to be part of Portugal's rowing team.
Hmm.
So he asked them for $800 a month so he could train. Portugal said no. And that he'd have to pay his own way there and everything for himself when he got to Rio. They're giving them nothing. Which makes me think, like, how many of these other people are going there with no support?
Well, I would think that it really depends on the sport, and then it depends on what kind of country it is. Like, I bet for some of these countries that, like, let's, you know, some of these small African nations.
Right.
Or maybe they're not small, but they only field, like, 15 athletes or something,
some
right?
Some of them are pretty damn small.
Like Togo. But, or Benin. I think they're separate now. Or it's just Benin, which I think they pronounce Benin, which I'd never heard before. But that's a question for Buddy at another time.
That's true.
So, in any event, so these countries that have, you know, very small official athletes that are going, teams, I would think that the country probably foots the bill for them. Because, you know, it's not like the United States, which has, like, what, was it over 500, 523 athletes or something?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the most we've ever fielded. It was an insane number. And this is the first year since, like, I want to say the either 80s or 90s, maybe it was Barcelona, that we have the most athletes.
Huh.
Because Russia had the doping scandal.
Right.
Otherwise, it'd probably be Russia or China.
Yep.
Oh, we haven't caught you yet.
They'll never catch the Chinese. It's that Eastern medicine. It doesn't show up on the drug tests.
It looked like Michael Phelps had been cupping. Like, he had giant, like, cupping marks on his shoulders.
Well, he could have.
So it must be some sort of new delivery device for drugs.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Either that or he's just having a terrible reaction to the crap-infested water.
Also true.
That exists.
The, I forget which team it was that they showed up and they were swimming the next day and their coach would not let them get in the pool because it was murky, soupy, and you couldn't see the bottom of it.
That's so bad.
Yep.
The smoke on this cigar is excellent, by the way, this Padron that I have. Maybe you haven't had it and it's just sitting.
I guess not.
Well, look, let's be honest, John. After you got your box, you've just been thinking about it nonstop.
I know.
That's, of course, the box. I don't know. Well, we haven't talked about it. We both bought a box of our favorite cigar, the
Drew
Estate Tabac.
Yep.
Especial.
Red Eye.
Red Eye, which I've already, in a month, smoked the entire box. Not by myself, mind you. I've been very
That's
gracious.
That's true. You did give some out. Which
I did.
Is very nice.
I am.
I did bring one for later.
My man.
I know. I'm very excited.
Can't wait.
Well, it's that delicious coffee smell.
Even I had people, I brought them to a few gatherings, people who don't even like it, I'd be like, just smell this cigar. They'd be like, oh, wow. So then my friend's father actually had some puffs.
No, really?
Yeah, he was like, let me try that. He's like, oh, it's pretty good.
Well, it is. All right, so I think a big question that's on people's minds. Michael Phelps, is he taking any gold? Because my answer is no. I'm going to go with no.
Well, I'm glad he's not dating that tranny anymore that he met at the 2012 Olympics.
Yeah.
And then he had some terrible, like, he went to addiction therapy or whatever they always do. They go to rehab for something. God, that was incredible. I would expect that he's going to come close. I say he falls short in an individual and comes up winning silver. I don't know how many events he's competing in.
Me neither.
I think it's maybe like, well, he already competed in the team freestyle medley thing, and I believe they won gold last night, because I think I saw that when I was watching the beach volleyball today. Women's beach volleyball today.
It's the best beach volleyball.
The stadium was packed.
As
you'd assume. Right on Copacabana Beach, baby. Yeah, Phelpsy, I don't, that's what I'm going to call him now, Phelpsy. It's incredible. Certainly, he's had an amazing career. And what's really interesting is to see, like, how not, he's not nearly as ripped as he used to be.
I know.
And really, none of the swimmers are as ripped as they used to be. They don't appear to be, anyway. I wonder if that's, there must be something specific that they figured out in training that, you know, maybe you want more lean muscle as opposed to heavy muscle or something, or maybe you're just taking a lot less of the cream and the clear. Oh, speaking of the cream and the clear, John, we have to, this is also sport related, but not Olympic related.
Okay.
Did you hear what happened this morning with Alex Rodriguez?
No.
They called a press conference.
Uh-oh.
He's playing his final game on Friday.
Why?
He's retiring.
That's it.
And he's going to be a special advisor to the Yankees.
That's it.
That's
just,
it.
He just decided just, Friday's the end.
He's outie. That's it.
Because who else was is retiring at the end of the season?
Ortiz.
From the Yankees?
Well, not from the Yankees.
I thought there was. There was another one.
Well, Jeter retired last year.
Correct.
I don't think there's somebody else retiring from the Yankees.
It's, God damn it.
Because there's not another big guy. Well, I mean, CC Sabathia is still probably kind of fat, but
I need to open a new thing.
But no, A-Rod's retiring, and it's basically because he's not playing at all hardly and has been playing terribly. But so I watched this press conference.
Yeah, Mark Teixeira.
Oh, A-Rod's overshadowed in his own retirement. He tried to put on a really great performance. There were a lot of crocodile tears that happened.
Who, A-Rod?
Oh, it was the most obnoxious retirement thing I've ever seen.
I wonder if they're just freeing up a lot of room, because Mark retired yesterday, announced his retirement yesterday.
But the thing that makes no sense is they're past the trade deadline. They offloaded like one of their young stud relievers, Aroldis Chapman.
Maybe it's from the, I have no
idea. Look, in any event, the man who forced Boston Red Sox fans to love Derek Jeter,
yep,
and appreciate him as a human being is now gone.
So he's going to be a special advisor?
Yes.
For what?
Well, I'm assuming that what it will mean is that he'll still be collecting monies from the Yankees.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Because he still owed something like $21 million or maybe more. So, but anyway, the retirement press conference was so bad. It's just like he tried to like be emotional, and then he was like he didn't thank the fans until the very end.
Yeah, well, he's has seemed like a robot.
God, he's insane. I mean, the stories about him having like centaur paintings in his house, and when he did that profile piece, and they gave him like the bottle of tequila, and he's like kissing the mirror.
I mean, if I was A-Rod, I'd have centaur paintings in my house. It seems like a very A-Rod thing to do.
I mean, I thought for a while of just getting a centaur painting of myself just to do it after I heard. But then knowing that A-Rod probably had one made me not want to have
it. Yeah,
I
guess. All right.
All right, so sorry for the quick tangent there, but that was an important also sports-related thing.
I didn't know he announced.
No, it's official. So, and also, of course, his retirement is going to be totally overshadowed by David Ortiz, who's having, like, another amazing year.
Well, yeah. I wonder if he'll unretire.
There's no way.
He's got so many years of baseball left.
He's probably 53.
He's a DH.
I know, but hey, Big Poppy knows when it's time.
I guess. More Dunkin' Donuts when it's commercials.
Time. Him and Gronk just live together.
Yeah, okay.
So back to the Olympics, yes.
Olympics.
I would say, let's talk a little bit about just the sports in general, because, do you know the first Olympic medal that the U.S. won, a gold in, was
shooting. Wait, in all time or
Of course, an American wins.
Because guns, we love our guns.
Oh, and where was the person from?
Was it Minnesota? Where was it?
Pure West Virginia.
Oh, that's where it was. Yes.
And her name is like Ginny something.
I saw her interview with her, that they did after she won the gold. She seems like. Like a little bit of a valley girl. I didn't expect that.
I don't know. When I looked at her, she definitely looked like a made-up bumpkin.
Yeah.
Like it was makeup on a bumpkin.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was. Look, she's 19. I'm sure she's very nice.
That's just one girl you don't want to date.
It's she'll literally shoot you.
Yeah, and like precise.
Can you imagine?
Right through the heart.
Imagine how much free Mountain Dew she's going to get when she gets back. Like, she's going to sign a contract with AMP and just her whole family, which I'm assuming lives barefoot in Appalachia.
I'm going to assume the NRA is just going to give her a boatload of money.
So much money. So much.
But hey, first gold.
Good America.
Job shooting.
So good at shooting.
All the guns. I mean, we really should place first in every gun event.
Imagine if our police officers competed.
That would be good. All right. Refugee team. What's your take on a refugee team?
I like it.
Okay.
I like it. I think it's nice. Well, okay. If you believe in the idea that, you know, the Olympics is supposed to be about some sort of, you know, international goodwill ambassadorship kind of thing, which is good. I mean, I think it's nice that you're kind of forced to be exposed to the rest of the world.
Yep.
Obviously, it's in an extremely marketed, canned way. But still, like, to be able just to see that there is a wider world out there, the Olympics do a decent job of that. And because they are usually held in places that people wouldn't go, or, you know, or at least in different countries, you get to see a little slice of life, which is nice. I think the refugee team thing, I think it's great because that's what it does, is it gives NBC an excuse to do profiles on these people and bring their stories to a much wider audience than people then would watch a frontline piece on refugees.
Correct.
Or a CNN special with Anthony Bourdain about Syria or something.
Yeah.
You know, like it, I think that that's, it's an, it, it's definitely, I think, an important venue and avenue for that, which makes it valuable, I think. You?
I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. So, if the Olympics is all about nations competing against nations in a sport of goodwill, a refugee team of, I get if your homeland is in a state of civil war,
yes,
and you're forced to leave, and you're not a citizen of any country, and you're strictly a refugee fleeing your homeland, you know, you want to go back, that country that you're from is not competing in the Olympics at all, I understand a refugee team. There is a judo athlete from somewhere in Africa. I want to say Togo, but that's probably wrong. Who fled, went to Brazil. He's a Brazilian citizen, but he's competing in the refugee team. To me, that's just not right. Not right.
So you're a purist is what you're telling me.
It's not right. I want to see nations competing against nations. Now, that girl who apparently swam 3 miles...
Syria.
Right.
Yeah.
From Syria. Because Syria's not in the Olympics.
No.
I understand that completely. That, you know, you're not comfortable competing for your home country. You're not a citizen of Germany where she's staying. I understand that point. But if she was a German citizen and had been living there for years upon years, I don't think it's right that she can just compete by herself.
Let's dive into some history here. Because you brought up Germany. The Olympics really became the Olympics in 1936 when Berlin, under the Nazis, hosted the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a very good, you should check this out if you can. I forget the exact name of it. It was a PBS. There are several different specials. There's one on Netflix. I think it's called Hitler's Olympics. But the one that I saw was on PBS. I think it's called the 36 Olympics or something like that. And it talks about basically the struggle that Germany had,
right,
the Nazi Germany had, to get the games, keep the games, and put them on. And it was interesting to see, you know, all the famous things we think about for the Olympics, like the torch,
yep,
the lighting of a cauldron, the theatrical opening ceremonies. All of those started in 1936. So it's interesting that, you know, of course, it's Nazi Germany.
The Nazis put on a good show.
Who gave us this... quite a legacy they have. Most of it horrendously bad.
Correct.
But the modern Olympics is due in large part to the efforts of Nazi Germany to try to prove that they were better than everybody else, and then put on a show, basically, and make it theatrical and not just people getting together to compete. So the whole theatrical part of the Olympics really started
36.
In 36, which is, I thought, I guess in some ways I maybe thought that, but I didn't realize it was as clear cut as it ended up, as it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you're told that, it makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I don't think that's something a lot of people would know. I mean, I didn't know that until right now, but now I want to go check out that documentary.
It's definitely good. I would recommend anybody do it.
Okay, so, we got anything else for Olympics?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, team sports, America's going to dominate, I would think, in most of them.
If they come close to losing in basketball, basketball.
It would be the biggest story for the next 4 years.
I just wish there was a dream team again.
It's just not the same.
Damn LeBron and Steph.
They just can't get along. Steph was afraid of the Zeke. And LeBron still hasn't signed his extension. Where are you going to go, LeBron?
Lakers.
No. No, he's got complete and total control of everything in Cleveland. And he just won the championship.
Yep.
No way for him.
I know.
And he can make the most money by staying. LeBron going to LeBron.
LeBron is always going to LeBron.
Yeah, I don't think... I think the biggest takeaway after, obviously it's only been, this is day three since the opening, as you pointed out, John, there have been preliminary soccer matches going on.
Well, they're
since
for,
Wednesday.
They're for the Olympics.
I get it, but it doesn't count.
It totally counts.
No, it doesn't count. I think the takeaway is that, again, by the skin of their teeth, the host country has managed to get everything done, and so far looks like everyone... is putting on. They're putting on a good games. There don't seem to be a tremendous amount of problems aside from one stray bullet that hit. Did you see that?
No.
A stray bullet hit a media tent for some event. No one was injured.
God.
So
it's only going to get worse.
Well, I would think that the biggest worry, of course, is that something terror-related would happen. I would think that Western nations are pouring so much money into the security efforts that it would be unlikely that it would happen.
Was it you who sent me the article on ISIS trying to get the favelas?
Yes.
Okay. I don't see the Brazilian police stopping that from happening if it happens. I can't see those thousands of people living in favelas who are easily manipulated because they know nothing else, not running across the mountain into populated Rio and just blowing shit up.
Well, this is a really positive way to end our talk about the Olympics.
Well, and then another non-positive note, I think everybody should expect Pele to die this year.
Yeah, because that was shocking that they couldn't prop him up on drugs.
Right. If he couldn't take three steps to light the Olympic torch.
Look, if Muhammad Ali could burn himself to hold the thing.
Yep.
And, you know, could barely do it, then, my goodness, he must be in bad shape.
I think Pele's going to be the next big person to pass away this year.
2016's been a bad year.
It has been a bad year.
Just for everything.
Yep.
I'm sure in our future podcast we'll talk more about how 2016 is a terrible year. Because it just is.
Yeah, probably.
But, yeah, I would think the U.S. is going to do very well in the games, just in general. Because, I mean, no country, I think, can really compete with the mix of technology, training.
I think, you know, two can.
I mean, maybe
with
China.
The amount of people. China and Russia.
But Russia has the huge doping
Correct.
Scandal. You know, their entire Paralympic team just got banned?
Russia's?
From the Paralympics.
From doping?
Yes. The Paralympic.
Oh, my God.
That just happened this morning.
Oh, my God. How many people did Russia send? Do you know?
I think it was far less than they typically do.
That would make sense. I mean, considering...
Far less.
With the whole doping.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested to see... I'm assuming this is going to be Usain Bolt's last Olympic year.
God. Is there an Olympic athlete that better just sums up what is good about Olympics than Usain Bolt?
No, there is not.
Like, he's electric...
Yep.
He only runs for like 30 seconds. He's fast as all hell. And he's got that amazing wrestling finish.
Yes.
Which, obviously, we're fans of.
There is nobody better than him.
Oh. Correct.
And I'm just hoping he doesn't get beat. Because that would be a sad day. I love Usain Bolt.
Yep.
Love him.
I think that if you don't love Usain Bolt, then you just don't love him. You don't love athletics.
I guess, yeah.
Like, there's... Because he's just such... He seems like such a happy guy. And plus to be... Like, you're the fastest human in the world.
Well, that I think, is the thing where it's...
And he's sponsored by Puma.
There's certain monikers that just mean so much more than others. Like, yeah, sure, you're the greatest 10-meter shooter in the world. Whatever.
Cares.
The fastest man in the world.
Yeah, people care.
The best fighter in the world.
Yep.
Like... That's something to take home. Not, I shot something really, real good from 10 meters out.
Well, okay, so here's something looking forward to future Olympics.
Do you know field hockey is a field?
I saw that. I had no idea.
Me neither.
My wife said that apparently it has been for a
while.
Yeah,
that's what Lisa said, that it's been an Olympic
and
event
like,
for a long time.
What?
I've never seen field hockey.
In my
hockey.
Life, I've never seen field hockey.
Nope. And I don't plan on watching it again.
I watched it for like 10 minutes. And it was great because the announcers were like, they were saying how stupid it was. Because they're like, yeah, this is the only sport where basically your ability to score is only within like 5 feet of the goal. And
yeah.
The field is gigantic.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The field is so big.
Well, isn't it a soccer field?
No.
Or is it
it's
slightly shorter?
Yeah. Yep.
It's still huge.
It is a huge field and you don't have enough people. Mm-hmm. And you're running around hunched over the entire time.
So many of those women have kyphosis now.
God. And now golf's back? I don't know. It's just strange.
Well, and baseball's coming back.
Yeah, next year, right?
In 2020.
Well, yeah, next.
In 2020. But I think that the biggest sport out there, which I think really would be great to have, which they should do a huge lobbying effort if they're not already, is mixed martial arts.
No, absolutely.
Because that would... Could you imagine...
They've got judo.
I would think that the ratings for that would be...
Oh my God!
Tremendous, and that's
yes.
And that's all that it's going to matter because these Olympics already, as we said earlier, are down from London significantly.
Right.
And part of it, I guess, is maybe the delay, which isn't that significant. But the next ones are in Tokyo, so how's that going to work?
It's going to be a massive delay.
Oh,
I think that's the thing too is that you're in a world of instant gratification, and
right.
I'll watch. The Portuguese stations will have it. In normal time,
yes.
That you can just go watch. And there, it's fine. And then I have to wait until 8 p.m. here to see the same thing that happened at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
No.
Like, that's ridiculous. I want it now.
Well,
I want to know who's winning now.
Well, the worst was when they told us at the beginning of the primetime event, the opening ceremonies,
mm-hmm.
that our favorite supermodel, Giselle, was going to be appearing. And then you're like, oh, okay, it must be happening soon.
Yep.
And then like 10 minutes after that on Twitter,
yep.
all the GIFs, the GIFs,
yep.
the screen grabs of her started happening from other countries.
Correct.
Because she didn't show up until like an hour and a half in.
And this whole ratings thing to me on where things have to be in prime time seems like such a farce. Because...
It's such a backward idea.
Right.
Well, just play the whole thing. I mean, and also, NBC is playing the Olympics on every channel it owns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just on NBC. It's on USA. It's on CNBC. It's
yeah.
on MSNBC. It's on the NBC Sports Network. It was even on Bravo.
Huh.
So, and they also, in my cable tier,
yep.
and I've got Fios, not Comcast, which owns NBC, so I'm assuming there's even more of this on Comcast. But there are specific channels just dedicated to soccer and just dedicated to basketball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would think it makes no sense that you just wouldn't have a live, just one, at least one live station.
Correct.
The entire time. And then if you want to really do, like, a best of at night, because obviously, I'm sure what they're trying to do is schedule some of these events so they actually do happen live in prime time
yeah.
or close to prime time.
Yeah.
Like last night, they did, which would have been the first night, they did those swimming events were live, and then they did the women's beach volleyball with
mm-hmm.
Carrie Walsh Jennings, or Jennings Walsh, however she hyphenates that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But those were actually live, apparently, in prime time.
Okay.
But you're right. Like, it makes... When you can just go and, like, somebody in another country can have a Periscope feed of the Olympics right. live. And you just know where you can shut down half a billion people from streaming something.
Exactly. It's impossible. Or I can just go on Twitter and find the GIF of whoever winning whatever event.
Exactly.
Now I don't have to watch the entire thing because I know who won, and I don't want to watch the entire thing.
Instant gratification.
But it also comes, like, I think it was NBC that had it, the Women's World Cup a couple years ago. And they didn't do it in primetime. They aired it live at, it was like 6 or 7 o'clock.
And the ratings were buff.
And it was the highest rated soccer telecast in the United States.
Yes.
Because it's Sunday. Just put the damn Olympics on live.
I know.
On NBC. There's nothing else on.
It's true. I mean, Meet the Press can wait.
Anything can wait. Fine, give me 2 hours, or give me an hour total of local news. And then just go back to the Olympics. That's all I care about. It's Olympic time. It happens every 4 years.
I couldn't agree more.
Except for curling, which is really the only winter sport that matters.
Yeah. So I think we'll see some definite changes in 2020 when it comes to all of that. But then again, these big media companies seem not to learn quickly. But they have 4 years to figure it out.
True.
So maybe something will finally hit them over the head and they'll figure it out.
MMA would be fascinating.
I don't think there's enough time to make it an Olympic sport, though, because I think they have to, like, I don't know how it works, but I think what they typically do is they announce if they're going to add any sports before the current games.
Well, even whenever in the future.
But I would think that that's the biggest growth market. Yeah. I mean, they just sold the UFC for $4 billion after it was acquired by the Furtados and Dana White for $2 million. Hello.
Yep.
Like
$4 billion.
Where the eyeballs for that would be insane.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
and plus, most of the fighters are international.
True.
Certainly, a few of them are.
But then you'd have to do it pro, not amateur fighters.
Well,
is what I think boxing should be anyway in the Olympics, because them wearing headgear is just not appealing to me.
Well, just boxing in general is just dead.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody. There are a few people that get excited about it. The only match that anybody got excited about was Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Yep.
And that was a match that should have happened 5 or 10 years ago.
Right. Well, and that was the thing, is that...
And they kept waiting.
Right,
so they could make a bigger payday.
Exactly. But people were excited, but at the same point in time, it was like, all right, these guys are way past their prime.
Well, it'd be like watching a game... It'd be like watching a football game where Brett Favre is quarterbacking... against, some other guy that used to play back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I'd love to see Brett Favre play right now today, which he threatened he would do at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony last night.
Did he really?
He did. He was joking, we think, because the Packers are playing against
He wasn't joking.
The Packers are playing the Colts tonight. Oh, Peyton. That's it. That's perfect. Peyton versus Favre. Two old quarterbacks.
Right.
Then we can just see that floating duck just out there from our boy Peyton.
God.
He still makes good commercials, though.
He needs more Nationwide. I'm sad that other woman has been taking the Nationwide commercials.
Well, it's all right. He'll get back.
I want more Peyton.
But in any event, so far, Olympics off to a good start. And barring any external terrible circumstance, they'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
I
wonder how many people will get sick at the end. In the water sports, in the river.
God, I probably a lot.
That's what I want to know. Especially when they told them, like, wear full-length suits and you probably should wear a mask. And none of them have been doing that.
No.
I would be very interested to see how many people get sick.
Well, at least the United States and other countries will have modern medicine to help them.
Yes, it's true.
Lots of antibiotics, my friend. Well, John, it's been a pleasure again.
Yes, cheers.
We'll do it again soon.